Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
On Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios with Aaron Schust. Learn all about him at aaronschust.com. Aaron, thanks for being here today, man.
Thank you, Austin. Glad to be on.
Well, even pre-show, you and I have already had enough of a conversation that that's worth our time, I hope, already. And we look forward to sharing that with people as it comes along. But so thank
props,
you.
Props to you for being prepared and hitting record.
That's
just,
right.
just in case.
That's right. Well, I was reading up on you, and you're a Pittsburgh guy by kind of a native. Is that right?
Oh yeah. How's that make you feel?
I'm pumped about it because I've never had a Pittsburghian.
Yeah, right. I'm Pittsburgh. Yeah, Yinzer is what we call ourselves, but I don't really say it. Well, and that goes back to the Appalachian influence from, you know, West Virginia. It comes from U1s instead of you all in the South. U1s, and over time that turned into Yins. It's not attractive. I think year after year we often win worst accent of the nation. So, but my mom grew up in Florida. My dad was in sales in American Airlines, so he had to have his non-regional diction. So I don't have it too badly.
Yeah.
And I've been living in the South for a minute as well.
All right. So you're kind of a melting pot there.
Yeah. My friends in the North think I sound from the South and vice versa.
I did a little study on Pittsburgh. And since you're my first Yinzen, Yinzer. Dadgummit. Yinzer.
Pittsburghian. Well, that works. Sure.
I'm writing Yinzer down because I'm going to learn this. I'm going to get it. I'm leaving today with a little extra knowledge in my brain. And so I looked up some stuff about Pittsburgh.
Okay, what you got?
So here's a couple of things. Did you know emojis were invented by somebody in Pittsburgh in 1980?
I did not. In 1980? That's even more shocking.
That's right. Well, I'm always shocked at like these things that feel so new and current. Many of them were invented like a long time ago.
I bet it was just like the colon and the parentheses. Like that
Something
was the
like
emoji
that.
In 1980 because they didn't
That's
have like
started.
The little graphics that we do now, right?
But a Yinzer gave it to us. Was born black from a Yinzer.
Which is funny because most of my Pittsburgh friends are the ones who never use them. And I'm the more emotive and I'm like, smiley face. And they're like, just, you know, periods. I use an exclamation at the end of like every sentence. I'm not an all caps guy.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I have my limits.
Some self-respect. Well, tell your Pittsburgh friends to get with it. It's their native tongue.
Right?
Yeah. Well, another thing is there are more than 700 steps of public stairs. Okay. Did you know, like thinking back to Pittsburgh, are there a lot of stairs there?
Well, there's a lot of mountains. There's a lot of, or as we would say, mountains. And that's a little, you know, a little Yinzer accent right there. Little mountains, mountains everywhere. So I know we have, you get the three rivers. Anytime you watch a football game, Monday Night Football, Sunday Football, someone's going to say something about the confluence. Yeah. No one uses that word ever unless you're watching a Pittsburgh Steelers football game. It's the confluence of the three rivers, but there's a lot of mountains, and more bridges than Paris. So I hear, speaking of Paris,
I did see
the Olympics, more bridges in Pittsburgh.
Well, the steps, this is the point that really, this is the reason I wrote it down, is they're maintained by an inspector of steps. That's not his job. How'd he get that job?
He got fired from the emoji making job, probably.
If that's your job, do you tell people that's your job? What do you do for work? I inspect steps.
Not the maker, the inspector. That's important because I imagine
it is important.
Landslides and snow and that salt that they, you know, sprinkle, that can get dangerous. Ice, I don't know. It can cause damage over there. It's important to have good, strong steps.
I'm just curious what it pays. I'm interested. In 1967, the Big Mac was invented in Pittsburgh.
Come on, this I knew. This I knew.
Yeah.
Yes. And Heinz ketchup, they come together
Oh, that's
closely.
right.
Heinz was around longer, but we yeah, the Big Mac, we claim it.
Yeah, a franchisee is the one that invented. You know, you think those things come from the top or something. No, it's just some guy throwing a couple extra patties on there and calling it a Big Mac.
Yeah, that's what it is, I guess. I'm not sure if the special sauce had anything to do with it yet, but yeah, the extra patty in the middle.
And then last but not least, from 1891 to 1911, it was spelled without the H at the end. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah,
Do you know why?
peer pressure. I think because initially, I don't know why it initially had the H, but I knew that like everybody else, all the other Bergs, which is a German for city, if I'm not mistaken, it was just the G. And so we joined. I think there was one sign left. When I say sign, I mean like one of those carved into the block in the corner of some building that was built in that era that actually says Pittsburgh without the H. It's one of the most common mistakes when I see people write, whatever, he's from Pittsburgh, or they'll drop the H. And I, growing up there, the word Berg has to have an H. It's just the shape. You got the high B and then the G drops down, the H goes up. That's what Berg looks like. And so when I see it without the H, it looks like someone forgot a letter. But yeah, for a minute, to use that term again, we
I
had no
love
H.
it. It was a wrestling match. So incredible. So listen, everybody, you guys are welcome. And thank you, Pittsburgh, for these fun facts. And we're
Thank you.
grateful for them.
I got enemies at every side. It ain't looking good, I ain't gonna lie. Arrows flying, devils trying to make me think I'm going down this time. You might think that I'd be afraid, running scared with a shaking faith. But the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley,
You had me standing on a mountain, walking through barren lands. You took my hand and you said, you can have this world, but I won't go with you. Oh, I won't go with you. But I ran out of places, feelings I was chasing. All I have is you and you alone. Should I go? Your spirit will follow me down to Sheol. And the thing about the King, he's always with me, so I can't run from you. But I won't run from you. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I don't want what you in and then I don't want to go unless I'm going there with you.
We're here with Aaron Shustone behind the tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Aaron, Pittsburgh's fun to talk about. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to hear your story a little bit. What music got you into music to begin with?
To begin with, it was my mom's love for music. My mom, I have to start with her. She came to faith when she was 12 years old, took herself to church in an unchurched family, and was loved there, and she just fell in love with it. And someone gave her a hymnal when she was 12, and she brought it home. And I don't know how you learn to play music when you don't know what you're looking at on a page, but she did. And she taught herself how to play piano via a hymnal, and just loved music, always playing the piano when I grew up. And we had a small church, about 100 people, and she was in charge of the music, in that she, played the piano when people walked in, told the organist that, I think I remember them getting together on like Saturday mornings or Friday mornings to like practice the hymns they would play for the introduction, back in old church terminology. Like there was a special word for it, but they would play together, and she'd pick the music for the choir, et cetera. Even led the kids choirs, which is probably my direct involvement. Oh, and solos. That's another thing. It was always like back in the day, there was special music. And so Sunday evenings, would be relegated for, Carol's 4-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid. She put me up on stage. I'd practice the song during the week. And I used to hold a turkey baster as a microphone to practice.
Good
to practice. So, she'd make sure I didn't, because back then, like people would wiggle. I'll hold my phone. They would like wiggle it, and they would grab that cable, and they would like, there's always performance things that we do. You don't know it until you look back, until either someone in the generation before you says, why do you do that? Or you look back later and like, why did I do that?
Right.
So we all have these little things that we don't know that we're doing yet, but that was back in the 80s. And anyhow, so that's the, I just grew up in the church and I grew up with music always in the house at church, and went to school at Toccoa Falls College, a private Christian school in Northeast Georgia. I studied music education. I wanted to be like, I remember seeing Michael W. Smith do a live concert on TV when I was 13. I'm like, that's cool. I mean, this guy loves Jesus. He plays piano like I do. And he's like making rock and roll music. And this dude is playing some Stratocaster. I didn't know what a Strat was, but it's like a pink Stratocaster. I'm like, that's amazing. This is so cool. So I wanted to do that, but there wasn't a degree for that. There was music ed. There was church music. Mm-hmm. Which again, I'm not even sure what that was all covering back in the early 90s. I think it was pretty much know your hymns, learn how to conduct, learn how to conduct a choir, the church choir, period. That's all we got. And then there was music performance, which was more like, you know, singing operatic music, mm-hmm. Saying the Latin and the, so every, I took the music education course because it felt like the most logical to me. Like, I'm not sure what the future is going to hold, but doggone it, I'm going to graduate with a degree and I can teach. At least I can teach. So I went through that. I did my student teaching in Florida, didn't enjoy it. And I think the moment came when I realized, man, I could get placed in a job. I'm going to be taking that job away from somebody who would love it. Because the teacher I was under loved it. She loved teaching high school chorus, and it drained me of all of my potential energy. So I realized I could take a job, and I had like three offers that I could have been placed, and like, I'm going to be taking it away from somebody. So I decided to move on. I went back to my college town, started a band. And honestly, between the two things that happened during my college career that actually taught me more in the practical sense was I was involved in a singing group. There was six of us holding microphones, singing the tracks, or like we would program things into a piano and play them. We went around to 90 cities, 90 churches every summer to kind of represent the school, raise money for the school, but also to, you know, minister to the people. And so loading up in a 12-passenger van, setting up the two PVs on a stick and running soundcheck every afternoon, staying at people's houses, having conversations, the same conversations every single night with different people, letting them minister to us, giving us late night snacks, staying in their guest bedrooms, hitting the road again the next day, just 3 years of hitting the road like that every summer. You learn a lot. You learn a lot about the road and interpersonal relationships with people that you're stuck with, AKA the band, and great relationship with great. It's early. Let me have another cup of coffee. Hold on.
Yeah, man. Good.
Great relationships with people on the road, and then and the difficult relationships as well, and how to navigate those, and how to, as believers, how many times did I was just in my spirit, and I'll say it's the capital S spirit in me, that would not let me take the stage if I were at odds with a brother or sister during the day. You know, these are the things they don't teach it. You guys might. I love what I'm seeing, what you're doing. But I was learning different things in school, but there was no way the spirit was going to let me take the stage and sing about the love of Jesus while I was at odds with my sister. So how many times did I have to knock on the dressing room and be like, hey, can we talk for a second? Listen, I'm so sorry for how I responded. You got to take ownership there. It doesn't matter the fact that I still thought I was right, and I still thought she was wrong about whatever the issue was, but the way I handled it, poor, and I'm sorry. Yeah. Please forgive me. And then, you know, you hug and I still disagree with her and whatever. We still, we're not great friends, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can take the stage together. So anyhow, that goes to the education. You know, I graduated, got my degree, decided not to teach, started the band. It wasn't going to go very well, but it was a lot of fun. And took a job at a church leading worship in Atlanta, Georgia, at a Presbyterian church. And I was not Presbyterian. So there was this learning curve of theology whenever I hopped up on stage. And fast forward 20 years, there's very few pontifications that I will share from stage while leading worship. Sing the song, choose the song carefully, make sure the lyrics are legit. If you're going to say anything, stick to scripture. You know, it says in the book of Psalms, whatever, you know, sing to the Lord a new song. Clap your hands, all you people. I know you don't want to clap your hands. I know you don't want to sing a new song. Like I'm thinking right. That part. So I'm quoting scripture to encourage people to do the thing that we're called to do and then sing the song. Because how many times have I been in worship and someone, you know, the worship leader's like, you know what? I just think that today we need to, and like, I'm out. I don't know what you're going to say next, but I'm out. Like, I want to worship the Lord and not, you know, so there's a time and a place for that. But I'm jumping all over the place, the ADD inside of me.
I love it.
But the learning curve of the band that I started is probably what got me hired at the church. Yes, I had the degree. I had a music ed degree. I knew how to notate things, but I also had years of experience on the road dealing with people within the band and outside, you know, the vocal band then, but then the rock and roll band that we started, that was Christian. But there was songs about the spiritual life. There were songs about girls. It was just like, it was a hodgepodge. But man, hitting the road there, I'm being like, all right, so I wrote the song, but like, I'm thinking the drums need to come in on verse two. Bass, why don't you come in after that? What if the guitar was like bang, 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 like those kind of things helped prepare me as a worship leader, which was strange. And I'll close here. It was strange when I started doing that, boots on the ground, as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, as an adult with the position of worship leader, telling 40-year-old expert guitar players to don't play on the second verse because they're great and they're older than me and they should be able to do what they want to. But like, as an adult with a job, it was my job to say, let's lay out, let's slow down, let's speed up. Let's not do a guitar solo in the middle of this worship song. Let's bring the lights down. Let's, you know, oh, we think it should be brighter. Like, okay. And there's a pushback and a ebb and flow. Anyhow, you learn a lot of stuff from unexpected places.
And it is incredible. And I can even look at back in my life, how God just puts us in spots and puts us in situations and is preparing us for stuff we don't even have a clue he's preparing us for.
Right. Yeah. And it's, if you get too myopic, too nearsighted, and you say, this is where I'm going. Yeah. And God's been showing you or trying to show you and teaching you and taking you this way. And you're so, you know, excuse me, hell bent on going this way. Yeah. Like you miss.
Yeah.
You know, I just always think of like the interruptions of Jesus while Jesus is walking to go heal Jairus's daughter is when the woman with the issue of blood touches his garment and he stops. Thank goodness he stops and turns and addresses this situation. And I think that was he was wide open to the Spirit's prompting and spent time in those desolate places every morning, getting downloads and direction from his Father. I want to be like that as well.
Yeah.
That's obviously a divine moment and a miraculous moment, but sometimes things don't seem too divine. They don't seem too miraculous.
It's usually on the way to somewhere else.
Yeah.
For years I've run the fast lane and my treads are wearing thin. Left me on the shoulder, broken and pulled over, alone in my skin. Some things weren't my choosing. Sometimes I led the charge, chasing dreams or so it seemed, down on Fool's Boulevard. I could use a little church right now, love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed, I could use a little church right now. My cup's about as empty as this wilderness I'm in. I lost my way with the loss of love that came to a bitter end. So far from running over, so close to giving in. It's gonna take the hands that made me to make me whole again. I could use a little church right now. On top, no. Ain't talking about them hot views or that torn up parking lot. It could happen on a dirt road or a crowded coffee shop. Yeah, the church I need is the hands and feet of a God who came to love.
could use a little church right now. You know, I really tried so hard, but I couldn't make the waters part. Didn't matter how many times that I said it. You know, I couldn't save myself.